Outside of climate change, one of the great dramas in international diplomacy and cooperation, and also perhaps one of the great failures, has been the international effort to mediate, resolve, avoid, or compel a settlement of the conflict between Israel and the Palestinians.
Let me address the people of Israel and their leaders with whom we are meeting today for the first time. And let me assure them that the difficult decision we reached together was one that required great and exceptional courage.
The voice of Yasser Arafat back in 1993, when peace between Israel and the Palestinians seemed closer than ever. The signing of the Oslo Accords, the leader of the Palestinians, Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin, President Bill Clinton, all endorsing the concept of land for peace. Yasser Arafat of the PLO formally recognizing the State of Israel. We're a long way from Oslo today in the Middle East. The peace process is hardly mentioned in the current election campaign in Israel. Far from land for peace, continued acquisition of land in the occupied territories trades a hard line on Israeli settlements for continued instability in the near term. The hopes from Oslo are far removed from the current political dialogue. Dr. Ron Pundak was a chief negotiator for Israel during the Oslo peace process, and he says it's hard to overstate how different those days were compared with the frustrating stalemate of today.
The atmosphere that prevailed in 1993 and the current situation are two different worlds apart. We envisaged difficulties, but I must admit that we have never thought that it will take so long and that the hurdles will be so huge. And if we will not reach an agreement soon, eventually it will be against the interest of the two sides. And I must say that we have no time to lose. And unfortunately, the current government doesn't seem to understand the tragedy of the situation and the threat on the future of Israel if we will not implement the idea of Oslo of two-state solution, not the time as a, you know, one of the drafters, initiators. Clearly, I'm biased, but two states for two peoples is the solution and has always been the solution since the creation of Israel and since the 181 resolution 65 years ago at the UN General Assembly at the same day, the 29th of November.
Although, Ron Pundak, it seems as though that sense of necessity is completely absent from the electoral campaign rhetoric going on right now in Israel.
It's also very true, yet one should remember that it is not a part and parcel of the rhetoric and the discourse of the campaign. But if you'll ask any average Israeli, what is the solution which should happen, he will say two-state solution, and by the way, similarly on the Palestinian side. And if you ask any Israeli what is good for Israel, he'll say two-state solution. We are caught in an awkward situation in which the majority understands that this is the solution, but the same majority doesn't believe that this can be achieved. Interestingly enough, there is a mirror image on the Palestinian side, including, by the way, in Gaza, that the majority there also think that this is the only solution, but they don't trust us. So we do not trust them, they do not trust us, but both sides want. So from my point of view, the only, so to say, vehicle, kind of a deus ex machina to get us out of this situation currently should be the third party. And specifically, I would say the American administration. And I would like to see much more involved American administration leading us eventually to start negotiating thoroughly on final status through even a diktat, which will be written by the Security Council, which will tell both sides what should be the end game.
And that would mean talking about the status of Jerusalem and the questions of refugees, right of return, these kinds of issues that really Oslo stalled on ultimately 20 years ago. The Palestinians and the Israelis have very divergent views on the value of Oslo looking back over the last 20 years. It really depends on who you talk to here, right?
It's true, but one should remember that most people have not read Oslo. And as somebody who not only read it, but also wrote part of it, I would like to emphasize two things, which I think are relevant definitely for us Israelis, but also for Palestinians. There are two pillars of Oslo which are relevant and I believe will continue to be relevant for long. One is that after more than 100 years of conflict between two national movements, the Zionist movement and the Palestinian movement, which actually looked at the other side as nothing and worked on a kind of a total zero-sum game, Oslo created for the first time a mutual recognition of two political movements, saying to each other, we recognize the other. I.e. no more zero-sum game, no more either me or you, but actually the two of us. And the second pillar is the idea that both sides agreed that the implementation will not only be through diplomatic means, but also by implementing what is known as 242 resolution of the Security Council, which says territories for peace, which actually means repartition of Palestine into two political entities, two places for self-determination, i.e. two states, one for the Jewish nation and one for the Palestinian nation. Now, these are the pillars of Oslo. And anybody, again, you know, the majority of Israelis and Palestinians will say, well, maybe we would have liked to dream about something better, but this is good enough.
Although it seems to me the thing that's really absent 20 years on from Oslo, and if you look at the response to the vote in the UN last week with the announcement of more settlements on the West Bank, that it's really your voice and the voices of people like you, Ron, who are absent from both the Israeli political scene and in general this narrative of the peace process.
I always said that that peace process can only happen if you have both the top-down and the bottom-up approach. The street, the peace camp, is the bottom-up approach. The politicians, the statesmen, the leaders are the top-down. Whenever we had a top-down approach which allowed the bottom-up to flourish, you actually heard the peace camp. You heard the people. People went out to the streets, whether it was at the time of Rabin or even at some times of Ehud Barak, and during Olmert's time on our side, also it started again to gain power and strength. Similarly to the Palestinian side, but whenever you have a government like, unfortunately, the Israeli government currently, or the Hamas on the other side, which are speaking the language either of war or of no resolution, actually the silent majority is being doormatted. So we will go to the streets. But the only way, obviously, is to change the situation through political democratic means. And I hope that at a certain time, either we'll be able to change governments here, or that the government will come into the sense and start lead towards peace, because, again, this is our interest.
A worthy dream and mission 20 years after the secret meetings that resulted in the Oslo Accords and the Oslo process. Ron Pundak, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Ron Pundak is chair of the Israeli Peace NGOs Forum, who was a chief negotiator for Israel during that Oslo peace process.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.